In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you again for joining Jack Gardner and myself. I'm Pastor Ken, pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, for the Word for Life broadcast. And we're thankful that our church, Brookside Baptist, has provided this broadcast for you on BCY. And again, thankful for BCY and all of Jim and the work that they do there. And so grateful for the message that goes out all throughout the day and evening. If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come over and see us at Brookside right now. We're in 1 Corinthians with our theme being the gospel changes everything. Sunday nights, we're still in Psalms, where our theme is praising through the Psalms. And wow, as we've been going through some of the struggles that David has gone through, you don't see David just start complaining and bickering. You just see David crying out to God for help. He goes right to God. And so many of those Psalms are so encouraging. And I said the other night, it's better than 100 counseling sessions. Just meditating and thinking about what God is doing there in his life and what he can do in our life.
And you really see the realness of the struggle with David. You see just that absolute life application of where we've all been or will be, and it's right there, and David just hangs it out.
Exactly. Well, if you've been following us on Word for Life, we are now in Joshua chapter 4, so we're clipping right along here. And if I had to give Joshua chapter 4 a theme, it would have to be stones of remembrance. You know, it is so easy for us, and it was so easy for the children of Israel in their 40 years of the wilderness wanderings to gripe and complain to God, forgetting what he had done. It's horrible for us to forget to remember. Daniel Webster defines forgetfulness as failing to do because of carelessness, to overlook or neglect unintentionally. I mentioned Dr. Les Olala in our last broadcast. He was the president of Northland Baptist Bible College for years. He's ministers through VCY today and through some traveling and speaking. But I remember he made a statement about himself, and he said this: "I could have an earned doctorate for as much time as I've spent looking for my keys."
Wow.
I mean, isn't it frustrating?
Yeah.
I mean, Jack, you ever?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Val is having to say, "Put your keys right here," so you
it's
don't.
It's kind of a running joke.
Yeah.
So I'm with you.
To forget where you place something, or how about forgetting someone's name that you should know, or even worse, that special day you forgot. I have an anniversary with Kathy, 39 years coming up. You know, there are certain things you just don't want to forget.
Right.
I read an interesting story of a woman who was at the airport. She was in between flights, and she had about an hour and a half wait, and she decided she'd spend some time looking over the newspaper. Well, she had this little twinge of hunger, Jack, and so she dropped by one of the stores in the airport, picked up a small package of cookies, and sat down at a table to look over her paper. While she was reading, she began to detect a small rustling sound, almost like cellophane being crinkled and torn. She looked over the top of her newspaper, and to her amazement, a well-dressed man sitting at the same table, a total stranger to her, was opening her cookies and helping himself to her cookies. I mean, flabbergasted.
Why wouldn't he?
Flabbergasted. She didn't want to make a scene, so she just kept the newspaper up in front of her face and reached around and deliberately took the package of cookies and slid them toward her and took out one and began to eat it. About a minute passed, and to her amazement, she heard again the crinkling of the cellophane. She looked around the paper, and the man, not looking at her, was simply eating another one of her cookies. Before she could reach over, by now they were at the bottom of the stack. He looked at the last cookie, and he broke it in two with a frown and slid it across to her side. He finished his half a cookie, picked up the briefcase, and made his way down the terminal. I mean, she was fuming at the nerve of this guy as she munched on her last half of the cookie. And then she heard the call for her flight to board, and as she reached in her purse to pull out her ticket, to her shock, she saw her package of unopened cookies still in her purse. Somewhere in that same airport, that man was still shaking his head, wondering, how did that work out? that I just shared my cookies with this strange woman.
Right.
I mean, we are absolutely forgetful people.
I mean, and the fact he kept sharing them.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sure he was griping, complaining along the way. But from my vast experience, I've concluded that forgetfulness is not a respecter of age.
No. No. In fact, on the heels of what you said about the keys, somebody had given me a key holder, right? Some sort of tray, and I forgot where that was, too. So.
Well, yeah, and thus we come up with all kind of ways to remember, putting a string around our finger, post-it notes. Man, Kathy is prone to put post-it notes all over for me to remember something. I mean, we got day planners, you got people taking memory courses and so forth. But as we turn to Joshua 4, we notice its theme is going to be on the remembrance of God's goodness. Israel, remember your God and what he has accomplished for you. In our last concluding study there in Joshua chapter 3, it concerned God's power in allowing the Israelites to cross the Jordan. You know, several years ago, Kathy and I spent some time in Israel, and I want you to know where the Jordan River begins. The headwaters originate from three rivers that merge near the ancient city of Dan. And so the Jordan River flows down to the Red Sea. And the governments of Israel and Jordan opened up an area of the Jordan that has been closed for several years. And I'm telling you, it can open up in a much wider way in flood stage. And Israel has used that to their benefit to just actually put a beautiful garden and crops in a desert land. Not only was the crossing of the Jordan a stirring event for Israel, but it was also a terrifying development for all the Canaanite tribes that were west of the river. As the hordes of men and women and children streamed across the valley, they're crossing the river bottom on dry ground, burying their tents, their tiny babies, their household goods. I mean, cold fear began, Jack, to grip the minds of their future foes. The last broadcast, again, was on the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord's leading Israel across the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
And it was evident God is with Israel because God's a holy God. He cannot lie. Israel did not need to worry that God would renege on any of his promises to them. And friends, if you're into replacement theology, thinking the church has replaced Israel, I'm sorry to tell you, you're mistaken. God is not going to renege on any of the promises that he gave to Israel. We as a church, we've been engrafted in. What a privilege. But God is still going to hold his promises to Israel. And especially right here concerning the promise of entering the promised land. And we can observe a certain assumption operating in this chapter, namely that the greatest enemy of the believer today may be forgetfulness. Just as in a marriage, the real threat may not be the infidelity, but simply a slow process of forgetting and a gradual failure to remember the preciousness of the other person. Listen, friend, if you become discontent in your marriage, you're in big trouble. I mean, you can have 24/7 accountability and you're going to still find a way through the hedges or dig underneath the concrete wall. I'm not saying don't have accountability, but I'm telling you, if you're content in your marriage, you're not going to fall prey to failure in your marriage. Again, you see who God placed in your life, and you're content with that one that God has given to you, that you made a covenant before God and witnesses of. As we're looking at this chapter, we see Israel's first encampment in Canaan, and aptly it would be named Gilgal, meaning my reproach is removed. I mean, this nation, under God's hand and Joshua's command, was on march for God Jehovah. It was a day of jubilation. I mean, finally, Jack, it was an hour of triumph. I mean, this monumental memorial to the honor of God himself, he just did the impossible. And we don't ever want to forget it. And God did a very interesting thing in this chapter. Amid all the excitement and enthusiasm, God spoke clearly to Joshua to call out the leaders from the 12 tribes of Israel to erect a suitable memorial to commemorate the crossing. I mean, it was to be a new and a fresh triumph for Israel. It was beginning in a new land under a new command. And the memorial was supposed to be put together by men from each of the 12 tribes. And each was to pick up a stone from the middle of the bed of the river, of the Jordan River, and to carry the stone on his shoulder into the new land, being Canaan. These stones are to be a source of remembrance and will provide the answer in the future to the question, what mean these stones? Look over at chapter 4, and why don't you read for us verses 4 through, let's say, 6, if you would.
Sure. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you shall take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you?
Can't you imagine if you had little Kira at this time and you and Val, you're walking years after the crossing of the Jordan River, and you come down into the park, and here's this huge memorial of stones, and she looks at you, what's this mean, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this means, man, don't ever forget this. This is something God actually did in a great way. In fact, he says it again over in verse 21. He said he spoke to the children of Israel saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come. I mean, kids do ask dads, what's this mean?
Oh, yeah.
What is this? Saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over,
mm-hmm.
that all of the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.
And you know, those stones are often like our journals, too. Write it down what the Lord's done. Those are our own stones, so we can glorify him and what he's done in the
yeah.
past.
Or it could be the house God provided for you, or the car God provided for
yeah.
you, or even as a church family, look at what God has done. I mean, this memorial of stones is really worthy of our attention, friends. And we're going to pick this up in our next broadcast. And we would do well to emulate Joshua and Israel in this regard, because far too often we just quickly forget the great achievements that God has accomplished on our behalf. So you think about it as you might be lying there in bed listening or driving this morning or possibly already at work. Sometime today, you go back and you thank the Lord. Let's just say, not 10, let's go for 5 significant times or aspects of what God has provided for you, and give thanks to him, remembering his goodness. David said it so well, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who will trust in him. Have a great day, and we look forward to meeting with you on our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.